Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is a reading from 1 Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Now we'll read responsibly Psalm 148. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and ye waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created.
Who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
Our second reading is from Colossians. As God's chosen one, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the main things that I've done since starting here in September is to work with the catechism students and teach them about the catechism, Luther's catechism. We're specifically focusing right now on the Ten Commandments. We've gotten through the first six so far, and it's going all right. In the discussion, we've talked about not just the direct meaning of the commandments and what they tell us not to do or what to do, but about what the opposite means as well. What it looks like to fully uphold the essence of the commandment. It's similar to the idea that we're called not to just live to the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. So, for example, the fifth commandment is, you should not murder. Simple when you look at it, right? We all know murder's bad. But when you look at it in the mindset of what the commandment displays in essence, it's about how you treat others and being aware of the ways that we cause harms in intentional and unintentional ways. Sorry. The concept of looking at something and not just looking at what it says, but what it all holistically means is important and can guide us to understanding God and the Bible better. So what exactly happens if we were to apply this idea to Scripture? What we're going to do today is look at the second reading, which is the letter to the Colossians. It's six verses, and I'm going to split it into two sections. The first section is about compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love, and being thankful. These descriptors that we use are often what loving our neighbor looks like. We hear Jesus make that commandment, love God, love neighbor. So these ideas help guide us in exactly what loving our neighbor looks like. The opposite of compassion would be being mean or not trying to understand where someone is coming from. Kindness, mean, humility, arrogance, meekness, being arrogant as well. And patient is obviously being impatient. All of these ideas describe what God's kingdom doesn't look like. And God tells us to love one another through Jesus, and that's one of the other aspects in the letter to the Colossians. So the opposite of love is obviously hate. So we talk about not hating other people. And we talk about how things that we do can impact others and seem like hate, even if we don't mean it. And then the aspect of being thankful and being grateful for what God has given us. And not doing those things looks like not using our resources responsibly or mismanaging them as well. So the first part is all about how we love our neighbor. And the second part is as well, but it's a little bit more unique. The two aspects, well, three inside this is that we forgive one another, and then we teach and then admonish one another when there's conflict. These three things are tied up in a lot. We don't have to look very hard to see that. If we look at today's climate, we see division and admonishment abound in very unhealthy ways. So what exactly would it truly look like to live into these things, to live into the intent behind this? Because this is what helps guide us in how we do these things and have conflict in healthy ways. A way that honors those that we are called to help, especially the ones the society sees as the least among us. So the first part is about teaching. So we teach in ways that are aware of the world and sensitive to the situations that we find ourselves in. We try to be as competent as possible and not arrogant in teaching. The reverse of this idea, however, is the aspect of learning, because there is no teacher without a learner. So this idea of looking at the holistic aspect comes down to a few things about learning. It's about remaining open to learning about new things, things that can often be uncomfortable and at times downright hard to hear. We don't look just for what supports our own view, and we have to be willing to look at how our ideas and actions have historically and currently and in the future continue to harm others. We have to learn from the past to make a better future. We have to have openness to the idea that we don't know it all. Every single one of us has areas that we can learn from and learn in as the world around us is constantly changing. So you have this learning tied up in how we teach and how we operate in the world. There are issues with learning. We make mistakes. So that leads to the second part of this, which is admonishment. And let's acknowledge that this is an incredibly loaded topic. A few of you may be even holding your breath right now, wondering what I'm about to say, with trepidation and maybe even some concern. So let's dive into this. I want to first talk about the idea of what admonishing someone in this way means. It's not about shaming someone, it's not about making someone feel bad, and it's not about being morally superior or morally right. Admonishment is to be used in a way that helps someone live into the type of life that we as followers of Christ are called to live in, as was revealed in the life and ministry of Jesus in the Bible. Admonishment can sometimes be hard, and that conflict can be problematic. Jesus gives us a few directives in terms of how we should live, and that's what we're talking about, right? We should love our neighbor. And yes, that means admonishing people as necessary. For sins such as racism, sexism, cissexism, heterosexism, and classism, and all the other isms, we need to name that. We can't simply say that it shouldn't be that way. This topic is something that's hard to deal with, even in the church. We have to come from admonishment in a way that allows us to help people live into what Jesus calls us to do instead of shaming them. And then the other aspect of this is forgiveness, as is written in the letter to the Colossians. And the fact is, forgiveness is important, but it can't be given all the time. We aspire to that and we are called to try and live that, but sometimes that isn't the reality because of ongoing problems. And at the very end, the letter writer finishes it off that everything that we do is in the name of Jesus and to give thanks. Out in the world looks at us as professed Christians. And when we do something, whether good or bad, they look at it. So when we go out and do harmful things, that's not helpful. When we do good things, that is. All of this is undergirded in how we have relationship with God and one another. And the fact is that every single one of us will fall short of this. On the path and the calling to live as Jesus lived, we will step off that path. But the fact is that just as Mary and Joseph searched out actively Jesus, God has actively searched out each and every one of us. Because just as we will misstep, God said, I know and I forgive through Jesus Christ's actions on the cross by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you mess up and turn to God, God will say you are forgiven. The guidance that we receive from the Bible is an important part of our lives. And it's important to always do our best and be intentional about living that guidance. For when we are weak, God is strong. When we stumble, God stays standing. And God has given us that guidance to figure out how to love our neighbor.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.